one piece of advice to just about everybody in the room that would apply to everybody in the room at some point in their life, it would be the sentiment and the message that's in that song. I think it comes from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, where Paul says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." And so many of us spend so much time thinking about what's happened in the past. God says, you can't undo the past. No use worrying about what's happened in the past. Learn from it so that we don't make the same mistakes, but forget it. Yeah, I like that those verses in the book of Lamentations, not a book that we read from very much, but it talks about the mercies of God that are new every morning. And I'm so glad that we got a God that gives us a fresh start every day, that He forgives us of what happens in the past in answer to our prayers, and we get a fresh start this morning and tomorrow morning and the next morning. Thank you, Teresa. All right, we're going to dismiss junior church at this time. Everybody 4 through 12 can go with Brian and Teresa and Chantel and Adam. They have a service just for them. Hopefully this will be my last week in the wheelchair. I go to the doctor on Friday for another set of x-rays. I can stand, I can hobble around with my cane, but I get tired awful quick and I get shaky and I'm afraid I'm going to fall. So I'm going to sit down at least one more Sunday. Thank you for your patience with this and your understanding. This morning, I want to talk to everybody here that influences children. I've entitled my message, "Where Are We Going, Dad?" But it could be just as easily, "Where are we going, Mom? Where are we going, Grandpa? Where are we going, Grandma? Where are we going, Aunt? Where are we going, Uncle? Where are we going, Brother? Where are we going, Sister? Where are we going, Sunday school teacher? Where are we going, Preacher? Where are we going, Friend?" But since it's Father's Day, I've entitled my message, "Where Are We Going, Dad?" I usually end my message with a story, but I'm going to do it backwards this morning. I'm going to tell you a story to start. It's a true story. It was written in the autobiography of a preacher by the name of George W. Truett, who used to be a pastor, Southern Baptist pastor, down in Dallas, Texas. And he told this story, and it goes like this. He says, "I was in a revival meeting in a small town, and I preached the first three nights. And I noticed a young man that sat up close to the front. And every time during the invitation, I would ask the question, who is interested in coming to Christ? Who would give God a chance?" And he said, for the first three nights of the meeting, this young man raised his hand. And Brother Truett said that he could just tell from the young man's face and his body language that he was this close to getting saved. He was this close to coming to Jesus. And so he said on Thursday, as he thought about the man, the young boy, he prayed for him. But when he came in to preach on Thursday night, the young man wasn't sitting where he had sat the last three nights. He wasn't up close to the front, but he was further to the back. And he could tell before he started preaching that the young man had lost interest in the things of God. Before, his face was open and it was just like he was soaking everything in that the preacher said. But when he got up to preach and he started preaching, Dr. Truett said he could just look at his face and the way that he sat and had his arms crossed like this. And he said, I just knew that for some reason he'd taken a step back. For some reason, he wasn't interested in the things of God anymore. And so he got done preaching. He said, "I didn't usually do this, but after the service, I hurried quickly from the platform because I wanted to catch that young man before he left. I wanted to find out what happened." And he hurried back to the back and caught the young boy just as he was leaving the church. He said, "Young man, could I talk to you just for a minute?" And the young man said, "Well, sure." And the preacher said, I've noticed the last three nights, Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night, that you were very open to the gospel. And I felt that you were probably just this close to coming and asking Jesus to be your Savior. And I noticed tonight there was something different. I noticed tonight that you sat further back in the auditorium, and I noticed tonight that you just didn't seem to be as open to the gospel. And the young boy told the preacher, he said, "Well, preacher, you got me pegged pretty good. It's amazing what you can tell from just looking at my face. You were right. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday when you preached, I thought you were just preaching to me. I didn't think there was another sinner in the place. And I thought that I wanted to come forward. I wanted to ask Jesus to be my Savior." The young man went on. He said, "You know, I got to thinking today. My dad, by his actions, has told me all my life that God's not very important. My dad, by his actions, had told me that the things of God and church is just not important." And he said, "Preacher, I got to tell you, I love my dad. He's my hero. And I decided today I was going to follow my dad." Of course, Brother Truett tried to reason with him and didn't get anywhere. But he made the boy promise. He said, "Would you come back tomorrow night? Would you give God just one more chance?" And the young boy said, "I'll be back tomorrow night." Story goes, Dr. Truett couldn't sleep very much that night, and he got up out of bed the next morning on Friday morning with a plan. He got the phone book out, and he looked up this young man's dad in the phone book. He was a doctor, a prominent doctor in town. Town was small, they only had a couple doctors, and this one was the one that had the biggest practice, who just about the whole town knew. And so he got up early and looked up where his office was, and he went to the doctor's office just very early in the morning. Nobody was there yet. And so he just stood by the door, and the first one that came to the office was the doctor. And Brother Truett introduced himself and said, "Doctor, I'm a preacher, and I'm preaching a meeting in town." And the doctor said, "Yeah, I've noticed it in the newspaper." And he said, "I wonder if I could see you for a few moments before you start up this morning." And the doctor said, "Well, sure, come on in." And they went into the doctor's office, and the doctor said, "Well, Brother Truett, I can see that you're not sick. I mean, I can tell by looking at you, you seem to be in pretty good health. So you probably didn't come to see me because you needed my services." And Dr. Truett said, "No, doctor, I didn't come because I needed a doctor. He said, I've come on behalf of your son." And the doctor said, "Oh, Mr. Truett, do you know my son?" And he said, "Well, I've only met him one time. He's been at the services at night, and last night we had a chance to talk." And Brother Truett said to the doctor, "It seems like you have a very fine boy." And the doctor said, "Yes, I do. I'm very proud of him. He's a good boy. I love him." And the doctor said, Brother Truett said, "And he loves you, sir. In fact, last night he told me you were his hero." And then Brother Truett went on to tell him the rest of the story. How for the first three nights of the revival, the doctor's son was this close to getting saved, but last night he had turned off the things of God. And he said, "Doctor," he said, "that he did it because he wanted to follow you." Brother Truett said that when he said those words, that all the color drained from the doctor's face. He got up from the chair that he was sitting in, and just for several moments, he just paced back and forth in his office. He said, "Brother Truett, when's your next meeting?" And the preacher said, "Well, I have a meeting at 10 o'clock this morning." And the doctor said, "I can't come to that one. I'm in surgery at 10 o'clock. When's the next one?" And Brother Truett said, "Well, it's at 7 o'clock tonight." And the doctor said, "Brother Truett, I will be there." When he got up to preach that night, Brother Truett said this. He said, "I preached to one person. One person. And he said, I got to the invitation, and here's what I said. I said, if there's one person here that needs to come to God, one person here that needs to get right with their God, either for their sake or the sake of somebody that's following them, he said, I urge them to come right now. He said he looked toward the back, and that's where the doctor was sitting. He was the first one up out of his seat. He came down to the front. Brother Truett usually had the pastor at revivals go down and stand at the front, but he stepped off the stage and met this doctor at the altar. And the doctor said this. He said, Brother Truett, when you left my office this morning, I got down on my knees. I asked God for another chance. And I begged God, and I said, God, I don't want to be a dad that leads my son to hell. And I prayed for one more chance for me to come to God and my son to come to God. And Dr. Truett said, with a big smile on his face, he said, Doctor, look behind you. And standing behind that doctor was his son. And Dr. Truett had the privilege of leading them both to Jesus Christ. They both got saved. This morning, I want to be the voice of your little boy or your little girl. I want to be the voice of your toddler. I want to be the voice of your grade schooler. I want to be the voice of your junior higher. I want to be the voice of your high schooler. I want to even be the voice of that young adult that calls you dad or calls you mom or calls you one of the other names that I mentioned a moment ago. And I want to ask just one simple question. And again, because it's Father's Day, I'll just use dad, but know that it applies to all the moms and all the grandpas and all the grandmas and every person here that influences children. I want to ask one simple question. Where are we going, Dad? Where are you leading me? Where are you influencing me to go? I'm following, Dad. Where are we going? I know some people here today say, well, preacher, you're wrong because my kids don't follow me. I'm their dad, but they've gotten old enough. You know, they're a teenager now, and they don't pay so much attention to what dad says anymore. Or they're a young adult now, or they're even out on their own now, have their own family, and they don't follow me anymore. And I want to tell you, that's a lie that the devil has got you to believe. Because a dad, a mom, a grandpa, and a grandma never loses their influence. I don't care how old your kids are. I know the ones that are still at home. I know those little ones like I had in my Sunday school class this morning. I know the ones that are back in junior church this morning. They're still following dad. They're still following mom. They're still being influenced by you. And I would say to all of those of you that have children that you think are beyond the sphere of influence, don't fool yourself. They still look at you. They still ask the questions like those little ones do. Where are we going, Dad? Where are we going? This morning, I want to give you three suggestions on how to answer that question. Three places to lead your children. Number one, answer the question, where are we going, Dad? By saying, we're going to salvation. We're going to salvation. You know, all of us think that our kids are saints. I mean, we think when they were born that they were the prettiest little baby. I don't care if they were a boy or a girl. We think they were the prettiest little baby that's ever been born. And even as they get older and become a toddler and a grade schooler and a junior higher and a high schooler, we don't think they ever do anything bad, relatively speaking. I mean, we know that they get into mischief and we know that they break rules, but we have the opinion as parents that compared to those other brats that are in their classroom with them, we got a pretty good kid. But I got a newsflash for you this morning. They're all sinners. And it's my fault and your fault because we passed down to them that sinful nature. Came from us. They had that sinful nature. And that moment that they realized there was a difference between right and wrong, and that moment they made the decision to do wrong, they became a sinner. And they fell under the condemnation of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God. To spend eternity in that place called hell. And even though your kid may be a pretty good kid, and even though your child may be sweet and kind, and you love them with all your heart, they're still a sinner. And the penalty for that sin is still hell. And the only hope they have, the only cure that exists for sin, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they ask the question, where are we going, Dad? Where are we going? You answer the question, we're going to Jesus. We're going to the cross. We're going to the one who left heaven, who loved us enough to die in our place. The one who God put all of our sin on Him. And He died and He paid the price for our sin. That's where we're going. You know, I don't think a child is ever too young to start talking to him about God. I think when you bring them home from the hospital and you lay them in the crib, you ought to start talking to them about God. Say, preacher, you think they understand it? No. Not when they first get home from the hospital. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know when they do. I don't know how old they are when they start understanding it. And as a parent, I would not want to miss the first opportunity that they understood it. And so, as soon as you can, you start telling them about Jesus. You tell them that He's the only cure for sin. You tell them that He's the only hope for heaven. Let me ask you this morning, where are you leading your child? You know, it's kind of hard to lead somebody, anybody, to a place you've never been before. And if you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation for yourself, it's going to be real hard for you to lead your little boy or your little girl or your teenage boy or your teenage girl to Jesus if you haven't been there yourself. Where are you leading them? Are you leading them to salvation or to damnation? Are you leading them to heaven or are you leading them to hell? Are you leading them to an eternity with God or an eternity apart from God? Have you come yourself? If you're here today as a dad or a mom or a grandpa or a grandma, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid the price for your sins. And if you'll come to Him, He'll save you. Bible says, all that come to Him, He won't turn away. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever receiveth Him shall become part of the family of God. Where are we going, Dad? I'd encourage you to answer the question honestly. If you've never been saved, and you, when that little boy or little girl asks you that question, and maybe they won't ask you in words, but they'll ask you as they follow you. They'll ask you as they pattern their life after yours. Where are we going, Dad? Answer the question honestly. If you're not saved, you got to answer the question, well, we're going to hell. A place of darkness, a place of fire, a place of the bottomless pit, a place where the worm dieth not, a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know of a dad that's much of a dad that would lead their child to hell. Where are we going, Dad? If you're saved this morning, you can answer that question. We're going to heaven. A place where there's no night. A place where there's no pain. A place where there's no tears. That's where I'm going, son. That's where I'm going, daughter. Follow me. I want you to go there too. Where are we going, Dad? Number two, answer that question. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust Him. Like we studied about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, He's God. He's got a will and plan for our life. He's my Father. He loves me. He's going to take care of me. Where are we going, Dad? We're going to the place where I can teach you that God can be trusted. We're going to the place so that you can learn, like I have learned, that doesn't pay to worry. Doesn't pay to fret. Doesn't pay to be anxious about the things that we face in this earth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, therefore, and this is Jesus talking, said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You realize that this morning? That our heavenly Father knows each and everything that each of us as individual needs. There's not a thing in your life that you need today that God doesn't know about. And then Jesus goes on, He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says this, you get saved, and then you seek my kingdom. You seek the things of God. And He says, I know that you need all these other things. I know you need to eat. I know you need to drink. I know you need a place to stay. I know you need clothes for your body. But I don't want you to worry about those things. The Bible says by worrying, you can't add one cubit to your stature. And by worrying and being anxious and fretting, you can't put a meal on a table. You can't put a coat or a dress or a pair of pants on a little girl or a little boy. Not by worry. I like what the Sunday school lesson reminded us this morning, that everything that we have that's good came from God. And don't forget that, because when we forget that the blessings of this life come from a God in heaven, then we begin to take Him for granted. And we begin to forget all the things that He does to take care of us. Where are we going, Dad? We're going to a place that you can learn to trust God, that He loves you, and that He's going to take care of you. Where are we going, Dad? And I hurry, point number three. Where are we going, Dad? We're going to that place where we obey God. We're going to obedience. The Bible's the Word of God. It's our owner's manual. You know, we've made owner's manual that we put in cars and trucks so complicated that most people never take them out of the glove box. I mean, I dare say if we went out to most of the cars in the parking lot this morning, they'd still be wrapped up in the plastic that they came in. Most of us treat this book the same way. We think we know everything about how our car works, so we don't open the book. We can figure out how to turn the windshield wipers on. It may not be the same as it was the car we had before, but if we fiddle with the buttons enough, we can turn them on. We may spray the windows. We may open the trunk. But eventually, we'll get the windshield wipers on. We can figure out how to turn the lights on without looking in the book. And again, we may do some unattended things. You may talk to Jack or Jill by pushing that blue button, trying to turn the lights on. But eventually, you'll get your lights on. We don't need to look in the book to know how to work our cars. We know all about how the car works. And unfortunately, that way of thinking sort of goes over to our lives. This is our owner's manual. It tells us how we all live. It tells us how to have joy. It tells us how to love. It tells us how to have success. It tells us how to be a dad. It tells us how to be a mom. Tell us how to be a child. Tell us how to be a friend. I could go on and I could list hundreds of things that this book tells us how to do. But here's what we say. I know all about that. I don't need to go to the book. I know all about it. The world has its own ideas about all that. The world has its own ideas about how to have peace. The world has its own ideas how to have joy. The world has its own ideas about how to have success. And you know what the funny thing is? If you look at the world's ideas and you compare them to God's ideas, they're totally opposite. They're diametrically opposed. Where are we going, Dad? We're going to that place where I want you to understand that this book is the Word of God and it ought to be obeyed. It ought to be obeyed. In the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible says this, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin and stubbornness is iniquity. Where are we going, Dad? And again, you may think, well, my child doesn't ask me that question. But I'll tell you this morning, they do. They do. They may not put it into words. I want it to be their voice this morning. But you watch how they watch you. You watch how they follow you. And I dare say if we could have the eyes of God, we could look at our high schoolers and we could look at our young adults that are children that maybe are already married and are away from home, but they haven't taken their eyes off Dad. They haven't taken their eyes off Mom. Where are we going? Make sure you lead them to Jesus. Again, it's going to be hard for you to lead them there if you haven't been there yourself. And I'll say the same thing this morning that Dr. Truett said. If you're here today and you've never come to Christ, would you come not only for your sake, but that little one that's behind you? Would you come for them? Lead them to that place of trust. Lead them to that place of obedience. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.